In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With these words, you and I were baptized. Here is the baptismal font to remind us of our baptism. In our divine bath, Jesus Christ himself cleans us. In a dialogue with Nicodemus, Jesus says that Nicodemus must be born anew. He must be born of the water and of the Spirit to see the kingdom of heaven. Some people, like Calvin, Karlstadt, and others, do not agree that this text speaks about the baptism. Calvin says, no, water here is a synonym of the Holy Spirit, and born anew means born from above. And Karlstadt says, no, here is not baptism. Here we have water as a symbol of affliction and temptation. Most of the Reformed religious say the text here speaks about baptism. Baptism is a public confession that a person believes in Christ and belongs to the church. The historical critical position interprets water here not as a word that belonged to the text, but that which was later added. And Luther says, yes, this text speaks about baptism. Jesus speaks to Nicodemus plainly about being born again, being born anew, from the water and the Spirit. It's clear that Jesus is talking about baptism, not the water by itself, but the water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word is the power of God in baptism. The word of God makes baptism be God's baptism. As the gospel comes from God, so the baptism also comes from God. And because the gospel is baptism, because the gospel and baptism comes from God, God makes disciples through the gospel and through the baptism. Or as Luther says, it is ordained that God will make no Christian except by baptism and the call of the gospel. God wants all who are called Christian to be set apart from the world by means of baptism and the gospel. John 3, verses 3 and 5 is one of the most important texts in the Bible by which we can be sure that in baptism God bestows the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit here is connected with the water. That is baptism, and baptism is a new birth. When Jesus presented this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus thought that Jesus was speaking of a natural birth, as if a person could go back to his mother womb and be born again. But Jesus teaches a spiritual birth here, the birth that happens in baptism of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus' background doesn't help him here. He must be born anew. Luther says, here Christ also speaks of the Holy Spirit and teaches us regard baptism as a spiritual, yes, a spirit-filled water in which the Holy Spirit is presented and active. In fact, the entire Holy Trinity is present there. Luther identifies the work of God, the doer, in baptism with the work of the minister in his activity in public ministry. Luther says, the doer and the minister are different persons, but the work of both are the same work, or rather, it is the work of the doer alone through my minister. Because God himself is the one who works through and in baptism, we must maintain the validity of baptism even when a person does not believe, or even when a minister is unbelieving or ungodly. For God is faithful even when a man is unfaithful. But for the personal benefit of baptism, there is a matter of personal faith. For those who believe, baptism brings forgiveness of and remission of sins. To those who do not believe, baptism does not benefit in spite of its validity. Luther is plain and clear by referring to this text. He says, "This new birth is baptism. You heard that the new birth is effected through the Holy Spirit and water, and that we are renewed through the power and the efficacy of baptism. The new birth does not stem from our good works, but once we have been born anew, we begin to do good works. Not the external and material things please God, but the internal, the spiritual thing please God. In believing God, this pleases God. Faith in Him makes us all perfect, but works do not. Since I am baptized, I am washed with the blood of Christ. Baptism makes me a Christian by faith. For Luther, this means I cannot but give heed only to the Word of God. And that is why the preacher has the duty to preach the Word of God from the pulpit, so that a Christian can be sure that his faith is from the Word of God which came from heaven. Then a Christian also confesses his faith and says, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the forgiveness of sins, in the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We set our faith in the Word that came from heaven. This God's Word is true and assures us with signs that we have been called, for we have been baptized, and those who are baptized belong to God. And Luther says, here those who are baptized have nothing in common with transitory matter, for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enter into the picture, and we must believe them. Thus the preacher must present God's Word, baptism, and sacrament on John 16:23. Luther rightly presents baptism as a substitute of Christ's presence on earth. This text presents Jesus' promise of the Counselor, and Christians receive this Counselor at their baptism, and the Christians believe this. The treasure that we have in the church is the baptism. We know and we can be sure that baptism was not invented by man, but it is God's baptism. So we can be sure that we please God, and in our heart we can say with Luther, I was baptized in the name of Christ. I know and I profess before all the world that by grace of God I believe in that man, and I resolve to remain with him and to surrender life, limb, and everything rather than deny him. In this faith I stand and live. Then I go forth, eat and drink, sleep and wake, rule, serve, labor, act, and suffer, all in the faith in which I am baptized. And I know that this is good fruit and is pleasing to God. Amen.